Sunday night, day one tomorrow, got me thinking a lot about what Josh Ferentz and I talked about. Josh Ferentz, honest dude, our conversation, the one thing that stuck out the most was when I asked him about regret. And you could see he was a little bit unprepared, kind of sprung that one on him. But he spoke from the heart, and the heart never lies. When asked for him to come up with his biggest regret in high school, the thing that came to the top of his head was a poor teammate for the middle part of his senior year of basketball at Keene High School. I thought he was the man. Dropped over 23 games in a row, saw his name in the paper, and thought, I could handle it. I can win by myself. And it wasn't until there was honesty with himself, with his team, that he realized what the problem was. The problem was him. And he was able to fix it. But to this day, 24 plus years later, he still regrets that the most. The dude is 42 years old now. He's been running professionally for over 20 years. So it got me thinking. Got me thinking about my regrets and being able to honestly speak about them. Because listen, starting tomorrow, me and my guys, my whole program, we're a family. And families have to be honest with each other. So I might as well get it out of the way early. I got plenty of regrets when I was in high school. I got plenty of regrets that I had my senior year of basketball. In all honesty, we underachieved. Why? Lack of discipline. Lack of work ethic. Lack of focus. Lack of building yourself up together as a team. How unselfish you could be. You heard it from Josh. He got selfish. He thought he was the man. But when you get rid of those things and you play from the heart and you play for something bigger than yourself, that's when you have no regret. But let's talk about it. Let's get him out there. And the person that I could best think of to have a chat about this with was my best friend from high school, co-captain, teammate, Matthew Richardson. Matt was born on May 4th, 1982. I was born on May 4th, 1983. Matt moved here with his family when he was in middle school. We grew up together. We played sports together. We were captains together. We were inseparable. He was that dude for me. You all got one. One that has your back throughout everything. One who you see more during the school year than your family. I hadn't seen Matt in 20 years. This is the first time I'll actually be having a conversation with him in 20 years.
Matt! Matt Richardson, it's been 20 plus years since I've seen your beautiful face. I think the last time you were just starting out in the Navy and I drove down from college down to Norwich, I think Connecticut at the time, to see you. And that is the last time that I have seen your face or really had a conversation, man.
Yeah.
And here we are. 22 years later, talking about high school regrets, talking about high school athletic regrets. I want to start out, Matt, by cornering you into a question, because you've always been honest with me. It's why I loved you so much, why we were so close. You were honest with me. You never sugarcoated. What was the one thing as a teammate that I annoyed you the most?
You know what? It's so funny. Because we were teammates from middle school, sixth grade on. Like, we played soccer, basketball, you know, everything from one point to the other. I don't know. I was I was the person that was always trying to catch up to you. At least, you know, at the beginning, I was always like, oh, Evan's the popular one and the one that's a good athlete. Everyone knows him. He's tall. I'm a teeny tiny person. So the thing that bothered me is stuff for you seemed so easy at first. That I didn't have that. That was, you know, that wasn't me. Like, because you know me, when we first met, I was probably 5 feet, even maybe 100 pounds in sixth grade. I don't think I broke 100 pounds until I hit high school.
I saw you fit in a locker. I know
oh,
that.
Yeah. I know.
So, it wasn't me who put you in that locker, though. We were peers.
So. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All from day one, I think. So you know, I think that was. That was something, I wouldn't even say it annoyed me. It was something I was like, God, that's annoying that I don't have that. You always had a height on me. And I was like, man, if I had that inch, that extra couple 4 inches.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, Matt, early on, I think that was more of a problem for me than it was an advantage because
yeah.
I was taller, because I was a little bit more athletic naturally, I could get away with that, especially
oh,
early
absolutely.
In middle school, I could score points just because I was taller than people.
Yep.
And then when it started to even out, when people like you got faster and stronger, and I still was relying on that rawness, the gap narrowed so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, crap, I didn't put in all the work. Now it might be too late.
Yeah, that's it was funny for me because like I said at the beginning I was like, "Oh, you know, I was jealous of that having all of that." And then after playing with you for so long, I was like, "Man, this is such an advantage to me because you drew double teams. You made things easier for me around the court, around the field, things like that when, you know, it's basketball. It was awesome because I was just the small Asian kid in a hick town that everyone underestimated me, which made things a lot easier for me afterwards. Whereas, you know, you're over 6 feet and, you know, I'm just running around and you're drawing those double, triple teams and I could sit on the 3-point arc or cut back door and I'd get open. So it ended up being something I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. Being the number two is not always a bad thing because you can look like a number one when you got a good number two.
Yeah. Well, you know, and middle school, we had a lot of success. I remember our eighth grade
yeah.
year, we lost one game all year and we were all excited because that was, I think it was Coach Swan was coaching
Absolutely.
Us in middle school.
Yeah, he followed us all the way through.
He did. And yeah. so we were expected to be good once we were juniors and seniors.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that didn't happen. We ended up 6-14 our senior
yep.
year, lost in the first round of the playoffs. 5-15 our junior year, lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Man, you got all that stuff. That's amazing.
I know. It retains, man. But why? I mean, what was the reason?
So I thought about that. And you know what? It was funny. I was actually thinking about that not too long ago. I was like, yeah, we were amazing in middle school. And what's great about the area we lived in is we were so small and we had so many opportunities because we weren't competing necessarily with as many people to get into those positions. So for people like you and me that were good athletes, you know, and able to excel, put in the work, do that stuff, it was great. But you only get so many of those people in a small area. So when you're in middle school and everybody's kind of at that level where you're not at your top yet, you're not at your peak, no one's going to be at their peak at eighth grade. So none of us were there yet. And each individual person has a different peak. And a lot of the places in the smaller schools, the other people at the other end of the other end of the spectrum, their peak isn't as high. But when you're in middle school, the difference from where they are to the top athletes, it's a little bit smaller. So when you start developing and everyone starts developing, you know, by the time we were seniors, we had gotten to a certain point, but not everyone on our teams were able to get to that same level that we were at. They weren't able to hit that same peak that we were hitting.
So we were captains. Does that fall on us not to bring them along? A guy like, I remember, Preston Bagley, you know.
When you're in a small program, how do you not bring them on when your varsity team's, you know, 6-7 people on it, you know? So it's, if you say, all right, yeah, you're dragging the team down, we'll go with four.
Yeah, no. But that's a regret of mine, is a guy like Preston Bagley was about 6'1". He was a big dude. He didn't have much skill. And, you know, for a big guy, he was sensitive. And instead of, I'm taking this one more on the chest than you, I think you were much better with Preston than I was. Instead of bringing him along and encouraging him, I almost minimized his impact that he would have. And it ended up, at the end of the time, he didn't even play his senior year. And I feel bad to this day about how I treated him and how I didn't encourage him to stick it out, because we certainly could have used him.
Well, size alone would have helped. Because I know, like I said, by the time I was a senior, I was 5'10", but I was still like 135, you know, maybe 130. And I was trying to post people up, you know. So it was having somebody else down low that could, just a big body that can move people or space the floor a little bit better, you know. That would have been useful, yeah.
And we just weren't mature enough, to see that at that point, right? We were so inward focused on ourselves and how many points we had. I remember Coach Swan had the stat sheet that he posted up by the locker room, and we checked that before practice every day and compare about, and that drove us more than actually coming together as a team.
Yep. No, I absolutely. I know, you know, I was always, there were days where I'd be like, I'd outscore you, and it was a big deal for me. I'd be like, heck yeah, I got it. I got, you know, 25, Evan got 22 today. That's it. That was great. And you know, it was great between you and I in competition and competing with each other and stuff like that, because I knew you were going to outscore me all the time. So I loved it when I could get one on you like that. But you're right. Like, the fact that it was stat-oriented at certain points where – I mean, I loved getting assists. That was one thing I loved doing. I love passing the ball, you know, stuff like that. So, but that was the thing. I would love getting assists. And sometimes I'd be looking at, all right, Evan can make this shot. I've got someone else in the corner that's a little bit more open, but I have more trust in Evan putting this thing in than I do that person in that corner. And so I put the rock to you against two people instead of the wide open person in the corner. And maybe that probably was a better pass, because I didn't have the maturity to see that, hey, the open shot is probably better than Evan going against two people down low, you know? And so just the understanding of the game for me has changed a lot, you know, because of those little things.
About you were the point guard for us. And so, you know, things kind of started with you and having the maturity to look outside. I mean, me and you were close. We were best friends all throughout high school. We were so close. Becoming more of a businessman in that transaction at that point, like, I'm going to make the high percentage play here as opposed to feeding, you know, my buddy and co-captain, because we want to get higher on the stat sheet.
Well, and I know you're not a Celtics fan, but I am.
Yeah. Go Knicks.
I am a Celtics fan, and it's great for me watching them. Is the seeing the fact that they move the ball so well. Their star player, Jason Tatum, he'll have hockey assists. He'll have so many hockey assists in a game because he's starting to get to the point in his maturity at 26 years old that he's finally learning it's not about my stats. I want a championship. I want to get that win. I don't care if I don't get my double-double, but hey, my team won, and that puts us closer to our end goal. And realistically, even in high school, we had that same end goal. We were like, look, in eighth grade, we were undefeated. We can do the same thing as seniors in high school. We're playing against the same teams. We're playing in the same gyms even. So why shouldn't we be that good? And that's the difference. At that point, in eighth grade, we were just playing. We were just like, all right, it wasn't to the point where we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about, hey, I'm happy to be out here playing basketball. I'm going to do what the coach says. But as I progressed and got better and started thinking more inwardly about me, a lot of it wasn't even a, hey, I need my stats. It was, I can do this. I have that confidence in myself. I should be able to do this.
It's about wanting to be the man, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and we, you know, I remember back then there was that reporter, Dick Tracy.
Oh, man, I love Dick Tracy.
Yeah. And, you know, we would always look for our names in the write-ups. And then George Moltz, our social studies teacher who wrote for the local paper, we would read those articles. I remember I'd read those three or four times if it had my name in them.
That's right. I remember us sitting on free periods and going through those articles, you know, like just talking to each other about it. Even going and doing interviews with Moltz, you know,
yeah.
Like talking about, hey, you put this in the paper.
But do you think that, I mean, obviously maturity level, we were still young and our frontal lobes had clearly not developed fully yet. But
still working on that one.
Yeah, for the rest of our lives, man. But like that mentality took away from just getting the W. We'd be like, oh, I scored 25 points, but we lost, right? And so that was kind of a symptom of the overall problem.
Absolutely.
And that, again, getting caught up, like now, as I'm trying to coach these younger, you know, men into buying into a team, is to get them to look away from that and look just to the end product. Is it a W or is it an L? It doesn't matter how you get there. And you talk about the Celtics, and as much as I hate to admit it, watching the Celtics, they win so many games ugly. Games that they shouldn't win just because they hang around, because they have a culture of doing things the right way. They're missing shots, but they're getting the right shots. The other team's hitting shots, but the Celtics are making them, you know, earn those. And they just grind them down. And I think is a regret for me, I didn't instill that mentality, you know, in high school, that we've just got to grind every single day.
Yeah.
You know, practice or game.
Well, that was my thing. My thing was just hustle, effort. It wasn't as much about skill. My biggest flaw, I would say, is the fact that I never slowed down. I was the opposite. I was 100% every play, every time. There's a loose ball on the floor. I don't care how far away it is. I was on the ground diving. You know, I was scrapping for it, doing whatever, and that was great. But a little contrarian to what you just said, I was at the opposite, where I needed to pick my spots where I could slow down, let somebody else take over and be the person in front, because defense was my thing. You know, I was always at the top of the you know, zones, top of the trap, doing whatever we needed, and I was trying to get to every single ball, and I didn't trust the other people with me up top to do the same thing. So I would get in my own way sometimes because of that.
And in all honesty, you were honest with me about what annoyed you about me. What annoyed me about you, Matt, was that you were always like that. And I was like, God, does this kid ever take a play off? Does he ever, you know, because not only would you have that effort and that energy all the time, but you would talk nonstop while you were doing it. So, you know, it was just like, all right, you're annoying me with your physical effort, and now you're annoying me with your words, Matt. Just shut up,
you know,
and be mediocre for at least one time up and down the floor, all right?
Well, I'm annoying a whole new group of high school kids coaching now.
You know, you've always been a busybody ever since I met you, man. And it's a thing that annoyed me, but also I respect and love about you, is you never sat still. I mean, you were always doing something. To be able to channel that type of energy into athletics, one of the things, and I think another thing that I regret in high school, is when we were sophomores, we won the state championship in soccer.
Yep.
We were both pieces. I would say you were more of a centerpiece as far as what made us run than I was. You were the sweeper. I was a wing fullback. We went 17-0. We won the state championship. And it seemed like we peaked there. We said, okay.
Yeah.
That, all right, we did it. We climbed the mountain. We didn't lose a game. And I think almost, you know, obviously that moment I wouldn't give away
not.
For nothing. But as far as how it influenced the next 2 years and how we prepared and how we competed and how we were as teammates, I think that I especially, I got caught in the trap saying, we already did it. We're going to just do it again by showing up.
Yeah. See, for me, I think I looked at that a little differently, because I knew what a talent that senior class was. You know, the fact that we had, by the end of the season, I think we had 13 kids on the team, and we still ended up going 17-0, winning the state championship. And we scrimmaged, I remember we scrimmaged Randolph, and we tied them 2-2, and they were the Division II undefeated state champions that year. So, I mean, we were a phenomenal team. And I think, what did we graduate, 8 seniors that year?
Yeah, it was so big.
You're talking about a team that had 13 people on it, and then you remove 8, you know, 8 people that were, of which 6 were starting, you know. So it was really tough to lose that. And then you look at the junior class that year, there was one kid.
Right. Graham Gephardt, the Harvard grad.
That was it. So that next year, you're looking at, you know, who are the captains on the team? That's the one senior and you and I. So it was tough. And even that, it was, Graham was the senior, you and I were the juniors, and the rest were sophomore freshmen. So we were lucky to be part of that, you know, great team. We were able to contribute to it and be a big part of it. But the fact that we lost so many players that next year, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be rebuilding. We better just get out there and hustle.
Right. You know? And for a moment, all right, so junior year, we won a couple of games. Our senior year, we won 2 regular season games. And then we went on and we upset 2 teams on the road, including number 2, Blue Mountain. And we were in the semifinals in a very winnable game with the chance to play Whitcomb, our arch rival, who we had just thumped like 2 weeks before. One of our 2 wins, we thumped them. And we ended up losing that game 2-0. But for a moment there, at the end of the year,
glory was knocking on the door.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, reality of becoming an adult was knocking on the door. And finally, I think there was a spark that last couple of weeks of practice. And, you know, the last couple of games, we lost a really close one to a good team in South Royalton. And then we beat, you know, Whitcomb, who ended up winning the state championship that year. And so there was that urgency, finally. It's like, this is our last chance. But if we had only been able to bottle that urgency the last couple weeks of the season into the whole season, how much better do you think we could have been, both in basketball and in soccer?
That would have been awesome.
Do you think that we expected and were too hard on ourselves, and maybe that actually had a negative effect?
Absolutely. Like you said, the putting the pressure on yourself and thinking that you have to do it alone a lot of times. It was weird for me because I was playing stopper and you were in the goal, and I was like, we got to do this all. We're the seniors. We've got to lead this team. We've got to make this stuff happen. Looking back on it, you can't win a game with a keeper and a sweeper. You know, like there's a keeper and a stopper can't win a game. You got to have something going on up front. So to be able to look at and develop the other tools around you that you need to have to make that game work.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course now, like I've done so much more in soccer since then. Like my understanding of the game is completely different than it was when I was in eighth grade. You know, I'm a senior in high school. And part of that is watching the game. That I think is one of the big regrets I have, is I didn't sit down and just watch enough soccer, watch enough basketball. I've learned so much just watching the greats play, seeing what they do.
Do you think that in high school you lose perspective because of that inward focus, instead of you being all about me, instead of let's learn from someone else, and your ego gets in the way from studying someone else to become better at your craft?
You got to think about it this way. It's like everybody tells kids that are in sports, like, you know, how many kids are like, hey, I want to play professional basketball when I grow up. That's what I want to do. They're 8, 9 years old. They're saying this stuff. And everybody says, you know, well, all right, slow down. Do you know how hard it is to do that? You know, we're always told you have to be the best. You got to be the best to do this. So that's the thing. You focus on you. you don't focus on the fact that not every professional is the star on their team. You look at like great professional teams. They've got the stars that everybody knows. Those are the superstars, right? But they have so many people that are players on the team that are distributors, that are passers, that are people that just make a run on the field and draw the defense away. Nobody sees it happen. And that's the stuff that a great coach is going to see. Every single kid is trying to be the number one that's scoring that goal. But we're not letting the kids that are potentially being that defender that's creating that movement on the field. Those are stars too, but it's a different type of star. And you can be that kind of player and make it big as a supporting character on a field or on a court or something like that.
Regretfully, I didn't believe that in high school. Yeah. Regretfully, yeah. If you outscored me, Matt, I mean, I'm supposed to be, as your best friend and as a co-captain, yep. I'm supposed to be happy as long as we got the W,
absolutely.
Right? But I can remember distinctly several games where we won and you outscored me and I was pissed. I was pissed. And I was like, I don't want that to happen again. How did that happen? He got more shots, but, and then I totally lost sight of the fact that we actually won because you were getting more shots than I was.
And most likely I only got those shots because of something you did anyways. And it's that thing that you did that drew, you know, the defense away, got me that drive to the basket, something like that. I got the stats, and that's what we were worried about. We were worried about the stats, right?
Yeah.
Not the fact that, hey, I got that stat because my buddy over there did this thing, and it made me look good.
Well, I always like to call it the Dennis Rodman effect. You know, the Bulls, the Jordan Pippen, you know, Rodman Bulls were my favorite, you know, NBA team, you know, growing up. And I don't think I appreciated Dennis Rodman as much when I was that age watching them win those back-to-back championships. But now looking back and analyzing the value that he had on that team without shooting the ball, without demanding the ball. He didn't want the ball. But how much value that has to a team. It's a Preston Bagley effect.
Absolutely.
First messaged you and reached out and asked you to participate in this. You know, one of the things that you said is, listen, man, life's good. I don't have many regrets. And I think that really resonates. But Matt, how do you live or how do you play a game?
How do I play?
Well, no, how do you compete with no regrets? Like, how do you go out there and say, you know, at the end of the day, I have no regrets in what happened, win or loss?
You know, it's funny. After that first podcast you did, and, you know, I sent you that message and I was like, oh, you know what? The thing I tell all the kids that go out there is you can show up and control two things, and that's your effort and attitude. And I sent that message to you. And I loved the fact that that very next episode I was listening to and you were interviewing and he came on. He was like, you know what? I tell them the only thing you can do is control your effort and attitude. And I was like, there it is. You know, I absolutely love that. That's the thing that I've been telling all these kids now. And it's true. You can go out there. You can have the right attitude. It doesn't matter if you're having a bad day or not. You go out there, you hustle, you put that effort out there, you have that attitude. And how can you regret it if you've done your best? Like, you, whether we go in and win that state championship, man, that was awesome. But like you said, for you and me, we peaked there. That was the best thing we accomplished in high school sports while we were in high school as sophomore. And like you said, hey, did that give us the wrong attitude going forward, thinking, hey, we're already there. We got it. We can take care of this. Maybe we didn't have the right effort, the right attitude going forward that next year, the next year. And I know I said, hey, we didn't have the tools around us, but hey, is that a mindset? Is that me even now just having that mindset? What effort did I have? What attitude did I have? Could we have done something different? Could we have recognized, hey, we're going to have different talent in here next year? So what do we need to put in? What effort and what attitude do we need to bring to the table as the captains of these teams, put that same effort and attitude into those new kids coming in so they see how this game is needed to be played to get to that high level.
It's easy to say that when you're playing a game, right? That you are going to just put it all out there and let the chips fall where they may. But what we forget, and what I forgot, and what I regret that I forgot, is the game is not where you get the result. You can bust your butt, you know, play all 32 minutes, you know, give everything. At the end of the game, you are exhausted. But what did you do the week before to prep for that game? What did you do the summer before to prep for that game? Were That's you getting right. the conditioning in? Were you getting the touches in? Were you gathering all your teammates up to get some shots up in the middle of summer when everyone's just sitting around playing video games? And so that is what I always look back on and say, the way to play with no regrets isn't necessarily just about the game playing, you know, with no regrets. It's about the entire process. 4 years. That's all you get.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Richardson, man, it was good to talk to him. Relive our old glory days in the hope that you can better yours, guys. As you heard, there were plenty of regrets. Plenty of regrets. But the biggest ones are the ones that you can control, guys. You can control them every day. You can go in to every practice, starting today, day one, Monday, and practice with no regret. Practice with reckless abandon. Go home at the end of each day, exhausted and satisfied. It's the only way to compete in this game, guys. It's the only way for you to get what you deserve. Every minute in that practice facility is a gift. Don't let it go by the wayside. I'll see you tonight.